WBSM presents Brian's Beat with Brian Thomas, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, Brian Thomas.
Hey, 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 drive carefully. It's happening out there on 195. Good evening. I'm Brian. Welcome to Brian's Beat, the original show born at the apex of freedom, entrepreneurship, and nomadism. We are getting closer. What is this? This is Christmas Eve, 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 the 22nd of December. We're getting closer and closer to St. Nick coming down the chimney and somebody with a shotgun. St. Nick running as quickly as he can right out of that chimney. On this date, the 22nd of December, some Merry Christmas, 1807, at the request of Thomas Jefferson, of all people, Congress passes the Embargo Act. The Embargo Act, basically forbidding trade with all foreign countries. Yeah, 1807, Thomas Jefferson. An executive order issued by President Truman gave precedence to World War II refugees in visa applications under immigration quotas. Yep, we had quotas. Our president now is stopping a lot of immigration going on in the country. Like it or don't like it, it's the truth. But, and here's a big but, Truman did the order at the end of World War II because there were a lot of refugees. But one of the things that most people don't talk about is the fact that the person before Truman, you know, the one FDR, he actually kicked out a lot of immigrants, sent them back home because we were going through the Depression and he wanted jobs for U.S. people. True story. 2017, President Trump signs the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017. 8 years later, people rightly are saying, hey, where are those jobs? Tax cuts, well, you may recall the Biden administration made some changes. And so many of those tax cuts ushered in by Trump, well, didn't stick around. The Brian's Beat quote of the day, if you're a champion, you have to have it in your heart. If you're a champion, you have to have it in your heart. That quote from Chris Everett, or Chris Everett Lloyd, then back to Chris Everett. At any rate, she definitely was a champion. So as I mentioned earlier, be careful driving out there. Lots of bumps. Have you traveled on 195 going in either direction from Penniman to Cogsall, Cogsall to Penniman? Now, there's a lot of construction going on, but here's what I've noticed. Maybe you've noticed the same thing. The road is not level. There's been some paving, repaving, lots of divots. My guess is my suspension is going to be all shot. In fact, I think it's already gotten there. Suspension, shocks, brakes, alignment, all that kind of stuff. If it hasn't happened to you, if you don't have to travel that stretch, Penniman to Cogsall, Cogsall to Penniman, you're better off. You know, just avoid it like you would avoid the plague. It reminded me of that Lincoln town car commercial that they used to have on TV where there'd be somebody sitting in the back seat. One guy was trying to cut a diamond. And the ride was so smooth in the Lincoln that the guy could indeed cut a diamond. At least we were led to believe that. Nobody's cutting a diamond on that stretch of road either side from Penniman to Kuggisha. Heard that in a commercial, Kuggisha. Well, another quick one. No, I'm not going to do that because I've got a guy waiting here. And I want to get to him. So when I was going over the bumpy road of 195, I was listening to the Barry Richards show. And there was a caller that called in basically stating that a friend of his was on Church Street. And I guess he was going to try to get some work done over at Ralph's Auto. And he drove by. And there were no autos outside of Ralph's Auto. And come to find out, there was no Ralph inside of Ralph's Auto. Another caller chimed in, wondering the same thing. Basically, he said he saw some Jeeps outside of Ralph's Auto. Well, I'm going to tell you this. You can call it Ralph's Auto. It's been there. It's been a fixture in my life. But unfortunately, it is no longer Ralph's Auto. People are wondering, well, what's going on? Well, when you can, you find the horse and you let the horse tell his story. So, Nay Winnie, Ralph Medeiros, good afternoon, evening. How you doing?
Hi, Brian.
How you doing, man?
Well, Brian. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you well.
Okay, I was just finishing off a piece of chocolate caramel here.
Oh, so in other words, you're on my show and you're eating?
Just finished whooping down my supper.
Oh, okay. I take it out on me now. So, Ralph, what's the story? People have been driving by. They don't see the normal vehicles outside of your place. What's up?
Well, after 38 years, I just started to call it quits there. It's a convergence of different things. Our lease is coming to an end and re-upping, and they want to go up substantially on the lease. And I kind of, that was a straw that broke the camel's back, Brian.
Really?
Amongst other issues, yeah.
I guess that's happening it could be an apartment, you know, for living, but the same thing you're experiencing right now is that even when it comes to business leases are going up.
Definitely. I mean, the lease is going up, the taxes are going up, the electric's up, everything. It comes to a point where you're working for everybody else except for yourself.
Wow.
And even on the individual basis, everybody has to run a lot harder now to keep up with this inflation. We have some serious structural issues in this country. We're trying to work them out. I mean, at least this seems to be an attempt. We'll see how it sorts out. But time will tell, Brian.
38 years, huh?
At least the majority of people. We have people doing well and prospering. I think they're becoming a minority, and the very wealthy are doing very well, thank you.
And yeah, well, you know, I think Tucker Carlson made a comment not too long ago at a Turning Points USA convention. Basically, you know, most of us have no problem with the rich getting richer, but the poor are getting poorer at the same time.
Definitely.
And so,
I don't argue with that.
So when did you actually close down?
Last Thursday.
Thursday. Okay. So the Thursday before Christmas. And what did you have to do with the employees? Because you had a shop and you had your office staff, you have yourself, your brother, and I think your son is salespeople.
Yep. Ulysses, my service manager. We worked on getting him a job. And he had a couple of offers. And I think he's taken one. I haven't spoken to him today, but... And my office manager found a job. And my one of my techs has found a job. Actually, they both have entertaining different offers, so We'll see if they take advantage of it.
So how much?
Well, everybody's accountable, except for me. I don't have a job yet.
Right. Well, of course. But am I to understand that you helped everybody else get a job, or you're finding out because you're talking to them that they've gone out and they've been able to find something?
No, I try to make arrangements with the people who are there now, which is Colonial Jeep. And they said they would interview three of my people. And whether they want to take up the offer or not will be up to them. But I did try to, and my office manager is working now at another dealership doing that, basically the similar work. And one of my other techs is entertaining working for the city.
Well, you know, in listening to you say that, a couple of things. Sticking with the jobs, it sounds like that there are at least positions available for people out there. And if you're able to find them work in the same line of work, that says something, doesn't it?
Well, mechanics are in demand, so they generally don't have a problem finding work if they have something going on between their ears and they show up is the main thing these days, and you can fix more things than you break.
Really? So in saying that, we're talking to Ralph Medeiros. Used to have a program right here on this radio station, and the owner of, I guess I can't say you're the owner of anymore, but Ralph's Auto that used to be on Church Street, you closed down on Thursday, help people find work. It's funny because this economy, at least a lot of the stories that I'm hearing, people are finding it very difficult to find work.
Well, it is getting tougher, Brian. I don't have a doubt in my mind about that, especially if you don't have a real specific skills. Like I said, not trade technicians, good automobile mechanics are in demand. Unfortunately, a lot of the younger people coming into the trade lack the skill set. And you know, when I did some interviews as late as September, I had a couple of young people say to me, and when I say young people, I'm talking, you know, 25 to 40-year-olds. And they came in and they said, well, I can do brakes, I can do tires, I can do mufflers, but I'm weak on electrical. And they're very weak on electrical. And I kind of said to them, hey, you know, when I walk up to I walk up to an automobile today. Actually, I'm walking up to a network of computers that run a car. And if you don't understand how to diagnose and use computers, yeah, I mean, yeah, you're locked in. This is doing basic work on a car, like oil changes and tires and brakes. So they lack the skill set. And you can't have the employer make all the training, you know, whether it's a new car dealer that has, you know, the latest, greatest computers, or independents like myself. These people have to make the investment in themselves as well on their own time. And this is what's happening in our trade. So we're lacking people with the skill sets in today's economy, and it's a big problem. I don't know how we're going to reindustrialize this country unless we allow immigration of skilled tradespeople, because a lot of Americans lack the skills, the younger people. You know,
well,
those who are doing well are electricians and plumbers and auto mechanics and, you know, air conditioning and heating people are doing very well with the trades. And many of them didn't go to college. They might have 2 years of an associate's degree in the technical trades, which is good. And they're prospering and doing, making more money than those with bachelor's degrees and master's degrees. So the country was sold to build the goods. The jobs all went to China. And the money went to Wall Street. And here we are.
Wow. That's a pretty bleak picture that you're painting. It's one that I'm forecasting is just at the beginning of the tip of the iceberg, so to speak. Ralph, if you had... Let me back up and try it like this. You mentioned that your lease was increasing and basically you found that you were working for everybody else, everything else, but when it came down to you, you weren't seeing anything. Does that mean that there weren't enough customers buying cars? What's happening on that side of the street?
Well, let's put it this way. The expenses were increasing faster than revenues. I mean, we could have hacked it out, but you're just running hotter. You seem to be running hotter.
Hey, Rao, can you kind of turn left to right because I'm losing your signal?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm in a tough area here.
Oh, much better now.
Yeah. 1 second, I might have to do one thing. You might lose.
Rao's going to do his thing.
I'm still working. I'm still going to be selling cars. I'll be doing more wholesale and picking up cars for customers who want them. So I'm still in business. Just we're not going to have the footprint that we've had in the past because the economics don't justify it going forward in this economy until things straighten out. And that's the main gist of this, is to become leaner and meaner and be more efficient, Brian. So my son and I will still be in the trade, still be able to get cars for people. And a lot of wholesale I buy for dealers. I've been doing it for so many years. I can find the right cars for dealers who want certain cars. You can pick it up for them.
But on the retail side of the street, is that part of the business? I mean, not really happening right now. Are people not buying even used cars?
They're buying cars. The problem is getting them qualified. A lot of people, I mean, when I, deal with a lot of customers and they need, I mean, to put a car on the road today, just the friction, the sales tax, the plates, the registration, documentation, that alone is a minimum of 1,000, and that's on the light side. And a lot of people have a hard time scraping that up. A lot of deals take 1,500, and that's, on a car. And I'm talking a car that's generally the ones we were selling, generally priced under 10K, and then getting them qualified to we use mostly credit unions because they're just better for working people. And that's what we focused on. We try to avoid the blood banks, we call them, those who, offer you credit at 22%. We try to avoid those. There's a lot of places that use them. And some people have no choice but to use them. But we worked hard to qualify people through the credit unions, and you have to be structured properly. And it keeps their payments down, and it's way better off for them in the long run. And that was they have very specific guidelines you must follow. The car's price, value, the amount of participation of the purchaser, things like that.
Yeah. So
margins are tighter, and the prices are reconditioning these cars.
As we sit and we watch the price of a new car over 40, and in some cases up to $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that the price of the used car has gone up equally or close to that?
Yes, used cars have gone up in relationship to new cars because, the price of entry into a new automobile is significantly higher. And that's not even talking about the extra sales tax and excise tax you have to come up with in added insurance costs because it's more expensive to insure it if it's total to, recover the expense. And it's forced more and more people you see driving these new cars. They don't own them. They're renting them. They're leasing them because that's just what it's come to. So they're in a 2-year, 3-year lease, and they just keep flipping them that way. And it makes sense for some people. Don't get me wrong. There's some people who are retired or if you're running a business, you just expense that, like your phone bill and your water bill and everything else, and if you have the cash flow, it makes sense. But in the long run, I think people are better off owning the car, paying it off and owning it, and live within your means, and that's...
And you've got something to sell afterwards, too.
Right. Yeah, you got an asset, and you don't have to... if it gets older, you don't have to put the best insurance on it. Have good liability coverage, obviously, but you're a good driver, maybe you can avoid collision. It depends. Everybody assumes the amount of risk that they can afford to assume.
Yeah.
But the markets are changing. And it's not just automobiles. I mean, every not everybody has a car, but a lot of people need a car as a necessity. And the cost, especially in Massachusetts, has gone up substantially. Insurance rates are ridiculous for, like, young people. I mean, I have a lot of young people come in and look at a Honda Civic sedan, let's say a 2012, selling for around $7,500, $8,500, depending on mileage and equipment. And I'll say to them, yeah, have you got insurance? No. This your first car? Yes. Well, while you're here, I'm not telling you to do business with these people, but while you're here, take out your phone and tap in the VIN number to Geico and to Progressive and see what you get for a quote. And they come back and they go, oh, my God, they want $6,000. Yeah, and you're looking at a car for $7,500. So how are we going to make this work? Well, they're shocked.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised that nothing's been done about this.
What do you mean nothing has been done about it?
Where's our legislature looking at these rates that are astronomical? Now, I'm not advocating for young people who are reckless and careless and not responsible driving cars and have all kinds of accidents. But these rates seem to be out of proportion, out of relationship to the marketplace. Now, older people can get a decent rate if they have, you know, they don't have a lot of accidents behind them. And also they vote more likely to vote. The younger people don't necessarily vote, so they don't have much political power.
So, you know, I'm listening to this, and you're in the business, and I can see how somebody who's, you know, never mind 38 years, you've got more than that, you know, 38 years of ownership. That's one thing. But I'm wondering what's going to, if you're experiencing the problem that you're having, higher expenses, people not being qualified to buy or wanting to be qualified to buy. If it's happening to you, what about some of the other dealerships in New Bedford and the surrounding area? Used and new.
Oh, everybody's feeling the pressure.
So what's going to happen to the industry?
Well, it'll be... it'll thin it out in this cycle. It'll thin it out. It'll come back. I think, just the efficiencies will go forward. In my case, I want to reduce expenses because, like I mentioned earlier, I'm running harder and I'm just spinning my wheels here. I got to reduce expenses to be more efficient to go forward in the market. I mean, to run that size operation in New Bedford is very expensive. I mean, the property taxes alone are $26,000, $27,000. I mean, and they're going up, so it's problematic. You got to pay a couple grand a month in property taxes alone, not counting the lease, not counting the power, everything else. The insurances are getting crazy. So it's a convergence of different issues, Brian, as I mentioned.
Have you talked to any of the other owners on Church Street or even car dealers? What are they doing?
They're definitely feeling the pinch, no questions about it. I talked to a lot of them, are feeling the pinch, and a lot of them are making changes, trying to adapt. I mean, some places will honestly just abuse the customer more, try to get more money out of them, charge them higher fees. We're not into that game. You know, you charge them a fair amount, but you don't want to rob them either. So, I mean, it comes to the point of, you know, how do you operate? What's your ethics? That kind of thing.
Anybody else going out of business?
Holier than thou. All I'm saying is it comes to a point you have to just look at this critically.
Well, to your point, is anybody, you've gone out of business, or at least your site has gone out of business. Are any of the other owners thinking the same thing or doing the same thing?
When I drove through a city, I saw some places that have shut down recently as well. I don't know those individuals, to be honest with you. I was driving around town last week. So I guess others are making the same decision. They'll tighten up their operations. I mean, we're not alone. I had read different businesses shutting down the Cape. I mean, it seems to be that just a lot of people are, businesses are cutting expenses, try to get back in a better position. Leaner. Mm. That's also have something to show for your hard work. That's the bottom line.
I think a lot of people want that.
Yeah, well, everybody. I mean, I go to the grocery market like you, and you look at the pricing, and everything's gone up substantially, and as long as they keep printing money, it's going to be a problem. The problem's not going away anytime soon, as you're well aware. The country is living beyond its means. That's proof by the deficits we have. And we're going to start, going to have to start working like the Chinese and work very hard. And that's not to say we have, some people haven't been working hard, because I know I have been, and I know a lot of people have been. So, you know, I meet a lot of young people, and we do this with a lot of young people, because we're a competitive price point for them. And a lot of them have 2-3 jobs. They're really working hard, a lot of them. Of course, they're not making a lot of money. Lucky they make $16, $17, $18 an hour. Some do a little better. Some just make $15. So it's, you know, it's tough out there. I don't think the state's done a good job in trying to address these issues.
So you're bringing up government, and maybe I want to hear what you have to say. Part of me says maybe the government has done too much governments, too much. If you're paying $27,000 in a property tax, it's a stupid question. Were you getting your money's worth?
Well, I don't think I got $27,000. I don't think I got $5,000 in services, okay, to be honest with you. You were talking about roads earlier before I went on the road. One of the worst stretches of road is Church Street from where I am in Dollar General, north up to 140 on ramp. That's our test track. I tell our customers, go down that road. It's one of the worst roads in the city. And if anything's loose in that car, you know, struts are bad or stabilizer link, you're going to hear it. And that was what our mechanics use as the test track. So, yeah, we got to, but, you know, and I understand, you know, the city's locked in and 80% of the budget's fixed labor and management, you know, the cost of labor and all the insurances. I mean, we're in a situation where how much are you going to hit the tax bill for?
People complain all the time about taxes going up, and they're not getting their money's worth. Sometimes I think people want government to do too much, and I think government also does too much. That's a discussion for another time. So the reason why I reached out to you today is because you've got a lot of fans that called in to Barry's show in particular, basically wondering, well, what the heck happened over at Ralph's, because they didn't see your regular cars. Yeah, anything you'd like to say to them?
Yeah, I thank them. I thank the previous customers for the business over the years of support we've gotten, made some great friends. And, you know, we've had a lot of loyal customers. I've talked to a lot of people. They were extremely disappointed to hear our service to Palma was going down. And we had people driving over from Pawtucket, Providence, for the service. So, and even down at the Katuit, down the Cape. And they were very upset to hear we're shutting our operations down at that physical location. And, you know, asking, what are we going to do? And I said, well, we're going to lean a meaner. And they said, well, we're bringing it for service. I said, well, not yet. Right now, we're mostly in the wholesale trades. We are doing some retail. We just haven't got a footprint yet.
So, do you think you stay in New Bedford? Do you go to Dartmouth, Fairhaven?
Well, I'll be honest with you, I do like New Bedford. Over the years, I mean, we started in New Bedford in 1959. So we've been around a long time. We're one of the oldest dealers still in operation. So I would not be adverse to having a physical location in New Bedford. Maybe not as large as Church Street, though, because that is a big operation, and it did support a new car dealership. That's what it was built for originally in 1972. And I acquired it in 87. Marty Miller and Norm Lavelle, and they've both passed on. Two good guys. And they had the old AMC, Renault, and Jeep franchises. But the dealerships, Brian, are getting bigger. The chains are buying in, just like with the banks. And, you know, the Home Depots took out the little hardware stores. So the same trend has taken place in our industry as well.
Really? You know, I'm listening to this, and I never looked at the Teslas of the world. That's an entirely different class. But as I hear you tell the story about the little guy getting eaten up by the bigger dealerships. And I just never comprehended anything like that within the auto industry. Wow.
Yeah. Well, you got the CarMaxes now. They're pretty much exclusively used cars. And you got Carvana, which they're not doing that great, but they're out there and they have huge ad budgets and they draw in a lot of people who are easily influenced by these ads. But there's always opportunity. This is America. You have to reinvent yourself and go forward. And like I told you, we just have to have a reset, get our expenses in order, run leaner and meaner, and hopefully at the end of the day, month, year, there's something left over. That's the big issue today, I think. And that goes for you and I as individuals and the people out listening. Like your family budget, you get your paycheck. You want something left over at the end of the week or the end of the month? You can actually save something and, you know, put away for the future. And with everything going up as it has, it's problematic. A lot of people are struggling.
Yeah.
I mean, when I go look at stuff now, I mean, it used to be a time where, I mean, $100 is nothing. You just, everything, you spend $100 like in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
And I don't know, unless we get control and people better really start to pay attention and lean on your representatives to start doing the right thing.
I don't think people know I don't know what the right thing is. And I maybe as we go into this holiday period, we reflect on what we think is the correct thing.
Well, I think, first of all, you have to just get informed. And getting informed is not just listening to Fox News, CNN, or MSNBC. You really have to drill down a little deeper. For most people, that's work. And I just think that's... We have to really become aware, I think. So it's later than I think most people truly understand. And this inflation... In these wars we keep getting ourselves in. So far, Trump has kept us out of wars. We'll see about Venezuela. And I understand the game down in Venezuela, not just the drugs. Drugs is a good excuse. It's more to keep the Chinese out. So there's a lot of politics and geopolitics going on there. But we'll see how that sorts out. But I just like to see our state senators and congressmen, which I haven't seen. Have you seen our congressman? I haven't seen. He's still around? I mean, I don't know if he's...
I don't know.
I
know. The last time I saw our congressman, he was actually in the hallway at the radio station waiting to come in and talk with Chris McCarthy. And I haven't seen or really heard from him except for a couple of sound bites that have been carried on the major TV stations.
And how long ago was that?
Not in 2025.
Yeah, okay.
To answer your question, 2024, because we had an election campaign that year. So my guess is 26 is coming up. He'll be around.
Yeah, well, there's a case for term limits.
Yeah, good luck with
sure,
that.
Because, yeah, a lot of people, I can't say honestly I'm not a rabid Democrat by any means. But I have to say, one guy I have to say I respect was Bonnie Frank. A lot of people criticize, but Bonnie Frank would show up. He'd shake your hand. He'd have a conversation. That's one thing I have to say and give him credit for, that he would do that. And he'd take the heat. This new bunch of canallas, they don't show up. They won't show up for their, well, their checks. They don't even have to show up for their checks anymore. It's all EFT.
Yeah.
And, it's a different world out there. And most people, it's not, they don't care. They don't care. When a gallon of milk starts to cost you $15, a loaf of bread $10, and your pay hasn't gone up or it's gone up minimally.
Have you noticed how much the Thanksgiving and now the Christmas dinner is going to cost?
Well, I haven't seen the statistics on it.
No,
but I know when
just,
I go to the market.
Just look at your own.
Yeah, I know. When I go to the market and I see the prices... I'm spending pretty much double what I used to.
Mm. I got you. Hey, Ralph, I want to thank you very much for coming on today.
Thank you.
I think I don't want to speak for everybody, but it saddens me because I used to come to your place to get my motorhome fixed.
And, I remember.
You know? And
you still have that or you get rid of it?
Funny story about it, but it's last time I noticed, the title is still in my name.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Well, thank you but I'm okay. I just got a few health issues I'm working out, nothing overly serious. So it's time to just have a reset. Myself physically in shape and move forward. But I'll still be in business.
I hope so. Let us know.
Leaner version.
The leaner, meaner Ralph.
Yeah, I know. And Merry Christmas to all your listeners out there, and Happy Hanukkah as well.
Oh, same to you. Stay safe.
Okay.
Nice talking to you. Ralph Medeiros. I think I probably talked to him about twice a year. And last time I talked to him, I think I had him on the air. Time before that, we just started with the text messaging, and then we talked over the phone. But, well, I guess we got an answer to our question. On the 18th, so that was last Thursday, he pulled up stake. He closed business. He was leasing from the Colonial folks. And if you see Jeeps in the front of what used to be Rouse Auto, it's because Colonial has taken over the spot. Ralph stated he didn't want to pay the new, what he was calling, excessive rent hike. And again, we can debate what's excessive and what isn't. But the bottom line to me is, if you're finding out that your expenses are totaling as much or more than what you're bringing in, you can't keep going like that. And I'm not trying to say that Ralph was at the point of, you know, he wasn't making money every month, but it was getting to the point that he wasn't making enough money. And so he let everybody go and he tried to find them work. Hey, what can you say? He tried to find his people work. To me, that's a really good boss. You know, I got a close up shop. We're going to try to find something for you. Wow. I mean, that to me, that's pretty damn good. So, Ralph, I do wish you the best. 508-996-0500. Hello.
Hey, Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah. Brian, I have to tell you, he reminded me of my dad, Ralph, did. My dad had to go out of business about 45 years ago.
Wow.
He was up against inflation. The interest rates, 1980, were extraordinary, and he was a kind of a highly leveraged operation. And it was kind of serendipity for my dad because his customers were starting to leave the area, so the future was kind of bleak for his particular business. But I just quickly, Brian, that was the best interview I've heard you do.
Thank you.
To Ralph and his wisdom. And I hope a lot of people picked up on his thoughts, his experience. One thing I'll leave. It occurred to me when he talked about the skill set of the younger car technicians. I wonder if AI can help us out with that, because we voted for the technology to be available to the independents. I wonder if AI can help. Just a thought, but appreciate listening to Ralph.
I think,
and his story.
You know, it's funny because in my side interview with Ralph, we did quickly talk about AI, and I believe, if I got to put my thinking cap on a little tighter right now, I do believe that Rouse says that he is using some AI, but I don't know that it's helping the people fix cars. If he can't find people who can come in and do electrical, I don't know.
Right, right. Yeah, no, it's a daunting things I never considered, like you said. All businesses are tough, but he was positive that people are innovative. And there's always opportunity out there. So I appreciate that. But, you know, you got to play that if you do it best of Brian. That was good stuff. Thanks, Brian.
Can we call it the worst of Brian? But no, thank
there
you.
There is no such thing. All right. Anyway, take care, Brian.
You too.
Thank you.
I do appreciate the call. 508-996-0500. One more before the break. Hello.
Oh, my goodness. I love that caller. That is so funny. Best of Brian. There is no worst of Brian.
Oh, believe me, there is.
No, there isn't. Not as long as I've been listening to you.
Well,
no.
Thank you.
No, thank you. We all should really thank you a lot. You always have the great interviews. So what I'm thinking is, my head is kind of breaking from this that gentleman, business owner.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, my God, I would give him business as of today as we speak. Had he been on the radio, maybe doing more advertising, because he just humanized everything. You know, it's sad. It's like, oh, my God, here we go. Another business being taken down. It really is sad by him. And here's the thing. He's talking about trading amounts and this and that. Do you know, like, my car has 102,000 miles on it. It's a Honda Civic LX. I'm like, huh, they're saying I can maybe get $6,000, right?
What year is it? I mean,
it's a 2008.
And you think you can get $6,000? I've been told
I can get $5,000
really?
As a trade-in.
Wow.
Because it's only got 102,000 miles on
only
it.
Only 100. Do you remember?
Honda,
do you remember in life when 102,000, nobody would want to touch it? Now you're telling
right?
me people would want to yes. touch a car and pay $6,000?
Yes. Wow. Yes, because it's a foreign Honda, right?
Honda, yeah, they do make decent cars. Yeah.
But I do take really, really excellent care of my car. As a matter of fact, I just bought a new battery, $350. But that's just routine maintenance. You're always going to have to put something in your car. That's just the way it is. But here's the thing. I know my car is acting a little weird, but here's the thing, though. Listening to that gentleman, I was like thinking, good Lord, had he been on your show just a month earlier, I would probably have brought my car there and would have said to him, you know, what can we do? The other places. Okay, so just for an example real quick. Kia. I called Kia. How much is a new used car? $15,000. $50,000. And they want you to pay with them doing the loan and all that there through their banking, $200 a month. I'm like, absolutely not. By the time I get my health insurance took out of my money and my taxes, the federal, I'm looking at like 16 something. That's
wow.
it.
Wow.
I cannot pay my rent, pay my car insurance, and my food.
No, right? Absolutely. And I'm going to cut you right there. Yeah. But you're making an excellent point. After you know, that paycheck that comes in, whether it's Social Security, whatever check that comes in, after all those bills are paid, now do you have money to pay for another car because your car is breaking down? Do you have enough money to pay to fix a car? And this is what's going on in the United States of America right now. It might be going on around the world, but we're feeling it right here in our backyard.
When the people fear the government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty.
This is WBSM.
Santa's bag is full of great gifts this Christmas from Norelco. He's got triple headers, the shavers, the blades.
Traveling for business or pleasure? Instead of booking online, first call Low Cost Air at 800-221-6085. Let a real person compare prices and schedules before AI takes over. With Low Cost Air, booking is your option, which means there's no obligation to purchase anything at all. Call Low Cost Air to compare. 800-221-6085. Low Cost Air, 800-221-6085.
Back to Brian's Beat.
Santa Claus, go straight to the ghetto. Hitch up your reindeer, straight to the ghetto. Santa Claus, go straight to the ghetto. Fill every stocking you find. The kids are gonna love you so.
Not that it's bad that rich people are getting richer. It's bad that everyone else is getting poorer. And it's especially bad the young people can't afford home.
I just have to get this out before I go to the next caller. Boys have won 11 girls gymnastics state titles over the past decade. Just found this out from New Boston Post. Hello.
Hi, Brian. I wanted to make a couple of comments, but I wanted to wish you a blessed and healthy holiday season.
Many thanks, and the same to you. I've got 45 seconds for you, though. I'm sorry.
Okay, so I wanted to make a comment about I used to go to Ralph's when I drove. I had a few jobs on there, but he was not cheap. You know, it was the going rate, maybe a little more, but anyway, the small businesses are suffering because of Trump, and we are too. You know what I mean? It's not good. I've been saying that right along, but whatever.
I hear you. Next one?
Next one what?
I thought you had two things that you wanted to get out.
No, I wanted to wish you a...
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, and Merry Christmas. I'll be here tomorrow, and I'll be here over the weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's going to be the last Freedom Fools. But we'll be on Saturday.
Yeah, but then you're going to go on in January. You're going to start again, right?
Start what again?
Your program.
Yeah, I'll be here in January.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
No, thank you. Bye now.
The revolution will not be televised. Will not be televised. Will not be televised. Will not be televised.
WBSM.
You know, most people are not business owners, but just about everybody knows one. The dirty little secret is most owners don't qualify for a bank loan because they lack collateral. At legitimate business funders, owners can get up to $2 million in funding with no collateral, even with a low credit score. And they can get that funding in a couple of days. Find legitimate business funders online at LegitimateBusinessFunders.com. LegitimateBusinessFunders.com.
Call 508-996-0500. Back to Brian's Beat.
Merry Christmas, Merry, Merry Christmas from your Kmart Christmas store.
My measure's really simple. I got a bunch of kids. Can they afford houses with full-time jobs at like 27, 28? And the answer is no way. And the answer is that 35-year-olds with really good jobs can't afford a house unless they stretch and go deep into debt.
Wow, it's cold outside. 28 in Fall River, 27 in Wareham, 29 in New Bedford. And there is a chance of some snow showers coming our way tomorrow and into early winter.